It's already been a full morning, Sunday school, new members class, baby dedication. We still have sermon and the Lord's Supper to go. But I want you to make yourself comfortable for just a moment, because we're going to hear from the Word of God. Amen? If I come up here and I just tell you the thoughts that I have, it's pointless. I'm just a foolish man, a sinner. But what I have for you this morning is the wisdom of God, His Word. So I'm going to pray before we read. We are in Luke chapter 11. We're going to begin with verse 33. And then we're going to dive into this passage. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you truly have created and brought here today a privileged people. Lord, we are privileged in the fact that we have your word. We don't have to wonder about what you say. We don't have to wonder about how you want us to live. We don't have to wonder about what you want us to do. We don't have to wonder about what you want us to not do. We don't have to wonder about the future. Lord, we don't have to wonder about who we are. You have provided all of that for us. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness when we have taken your word and thrown it in the back seat of a car, thrown it in the trunk of the car, thrown it in a nightstand, thrown it somewhere, and it has collected dust when it is the very word of God. And Lord, forgive us when we have neglected it. Lord, I pray that ears will be open, and more importantly, that hearts will be open to hear the truth proclaimed. Lord, let me be an accurate preacher this morning. Let the words that come off the tip of my tongue be what you intend them to be. And let them be heard the way you intend them to be heard. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand? I told you to settle, but I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Would you please stand as we honor God's word, as we read it this morning? Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Would you please be seated? I know that many of you are visiting this morning. You're here supporting family. It may be that this is your first time here because you just moved into the neighborhood and you heard about this church that's meeting in a school. So I want to catch you up where we are. This is our fourth week looking at this event in the life of Christ. Christ has healed a mute man. He cannot talk. And I want to remind you, in that day and age, it wasn't that he just couldn't talk. It is that he would have no future in this life. It's not like today where we try as best we can to help those who have special needs. It's nothing like that. Since birth, this man has not known what it is to express his feelings to people or to tell them what he thinks. His prospect for a family was probably gone, and yet Jesus heals him, and now he can speak. And the question that happens here is not whether or not he was healed. It clearly tells us, by the way, this event began in our passage, actually began in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 14. And it says that all marveled. There was no question whether or not this man was mute and now he can talk. Everyone understood that. But here's the question. Why did this happen, or by who did it happen? So some begin to say it was by the power of Beelzebub. Or in other words, Satan. And their belief was that Satan has used Jesus to cast out a demon. Well, Jesus annihilates this idea. He says, this is ridiculous. A kingdom divided cannot stand. And I reminded our people that Satan is not capable of showing mercy. Satan is not capable of showing grace. Satan would not in any way, shape, or form show grace or mercy upon this man and relieve him of this demon. But Jesus did it. He's the one who did it. Well, he goes on to talk about another possibility, and that is that maybe somehow this guy got his act together and he was able to do this on his own. And Jesus says, not even close. He says, even if you put your life in order and you get everything situated, guess what? If you are without Christ, you are still empty inside. Well, Paul, I live a good life. I do what I ought to do, and I don't do what I ought not to do. I make good decisions. So see, my life is in order. And I don't understand why other people can't get their life in order. Well, my question would be, do you want to talk about pride? You see, sin will manifest itself somehow. That's what happens. And Jesus says, look, you clean it. That demon may leave for a while and you get everything in order. And he comes back and finds the house in order. And he says, I want to invite seven other demons in. And so now you're off. You were better off before with the one. And in between there, there's a woman who cries out and he says, blessed is the woman who bore you, Mary, your mother. And Jesus says, no. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. But then last week, Jesus, by the way, when he speaks in parables, sometimes it is difficult to understand. What does that parable mean? But when he is directly teaching like this, he doesn't mix words. He looks at those people who are going, we need a sign. We just need to know, are you really the Christ? Are you really the Messiah? If you'll just give us a sign. I know I've shared with this congregation personally, there's been many times I'm like, Lord, okay, here's an audible word. I just want to hear your voice with my ears. Just let me hear you. That way I'll know. I'll know that this is what you want me to do. And Jesus doesn't mix words. And he says, this generation is an evil generation. There will be no other sign because I am the sign. You'll remember last week, folks, that when you go back to the birth of Christ, Simeon, when Christ is brought to the temple, Simeon says, this is the sign. He is it. And then he makes two comparisons. And it's really interesting what he does. He makes the comparison between himself and Jonah and himself and Solomon. And so let me remind you what he said. Jonah was a prophet who ran from God, who was sent to a people that Jonah didn't care anything about. He didn't care for the people of Nineveh. He didn't like them at all. And yet he's sent to Nineveh. He tells them, in 40 days, God's wrath is coming upon your city. And it says that the king of Nineveh believed what he said, and they repented from their evil ways. And then Jesus is like, but I'm here right in front of you right now. And he's making this comparison that here is a prophet who ran from God, who didn't care about the people. And here's Jesus, who is the Son of God. And he comes to them to proclaim the good news, and yet they reject him. And so I want to visually, again, church, show you the comparison that he's making. He's saying Nineveh had this. They had a drop of water, and they drank from it, and they were refreshed. And yet this generation, you have Jesus Christ, you have this, and you are dying of thirst. So he makes that comparison. Then he talks about the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba. And this queen travels 1,400 miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And by the way, in case you're curious about this, in Scripture it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And so Jesus is saying, she traveled 1,400 miles to hear the wisdom of man. And I'm right here in front of you, and you don't get it. And so I gave another visual comparison that the queen of the south had these mere morsels of bread, and she ate, and she was full. And yet, this evil generation had this, and they were dying of hunger. My friends, it's not just them. It's right now. Today, we have this in our hands. We have the Word of God in our hands. We know a Savior who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead. We have libraries filled with commentaries to help you understand this. We have preachers in pulpits everywhere across this nation and around the world. We have Sunday school classes that are meeting. We have churches that are huge and churches that meet in schools. And yet, we are dying of thirst. We are dying of hunger because we don't believe. So today we look at the last phrase, the last comment that Jesus makes in regard to this. Jesus says, I am the sign. I am the sign. And some of you here today, you have really painted yourself into a corner. You realize that. And church, please forgive me, but I'm going to reiterate this. Because some of you are thinking, how can you in 2013 really believe that a man was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he healed people, lepers became clean, the blind could see, the mute could talk, the lame could walk. How can you believe that? How can you believe a man that could command the wind and the waves to be still? How can you believe in a man who could walk on the water? How can you believe in a man who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven? How can you believe that? And yet I would put before you that if Jesus would have done none of those things, you would say, well, he's just a man. He just did what anyone else could do. You've really painted yourself into a corner. Because, my friend, if you're thinking, no, there's no man that could do those things, I would say yes, except for this. Jesus was not just man. He was and is God. So they're not getting it. Here he is right in front of them. And they're not getting it. So we look at verse 33, and Jesus says this, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. My friend, no matter in your home, if you have a light like this or a light like this, we instinctively know what to do with those lights. We mount them in the ceiling. We put them up high. We put them on a stand. We put them so that people can, A, either see the light. They can look right at the light bulb, probably not wanting to brag on this one, but the one over there, you want them to see the fixture. You want them to see the light. Or we put them up there for another reason, so they will see what is illuminated by the light. None of us have light bulbs that we have put in our homes with the light switch, and we've said, is there any way you can mount that light bulb underneath the foundation of the earth, of the house? Is there any way you can do that? Because that's really where I want that light bulb. And immediately you're going, that's ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. None of us do that. We put it up high. And really what Jesus is doing right now is he is turning the argument on the people that are right there with him. Because he's saying, no one takes a light and puts it in a cellar. No one puts it under a bushel. No one puts it under things. You put it up high where everyone can see it. And so the first thing I want you to gather from this passage is this. Don't complain about being blind if you choose not to see. The problem is not Jesus. That's what he's making clear here. He's not the problem. Do you know what the problem is? The people. They're the problem. They're not seeing. And for some of you, it's not that Christ hasn't shown himself to be who he is. It's not that he hasn't given you enough evidence. It's that you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, where are you getting this from? Well, Jesus said this about himself. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is not only the sign that they could not see. Follow me on this. He is the light that's on the stand that people refuse to see. God did not send the light of the world and hide him away. God sent Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and put him up there for everyone to see him. That's what God did, and that's what he's doing. If you walked in here right now and you said, Paul, I don't see any light. I don't see those lights. I don't see those lights. I don't see light coming. I don't see anything. It's all dark. I don't see any light. My first thought would be, you're blind. You do realize there's two types of blindness, right? Are you aware of that? Let me tell you the first kind. The first is your eyes just don't function. We've all met people that they're blind. Their eyes just don't function. There's something wrong with the person's cornea or lens or retina or even the optic nerve is messed up, and they just don't see. And it's they just can't. They wish they could. They just can't. Well, the same is true when it comes to the Lord. And by the way, it's not called blindness. We call it this, ignorance. They don't know. They don't know the Lord. They've never heard the story of Jesus Christ. They've never heard the story of how God created everything that is, how man fell, and how God redeems. They've never heard that. They're ignorant. And by the way, please understand this. Ignorance does not mean innocence. Ignorance does not mean innocent. So let me give you an example. If I were to get in my car right after the service and I get on Westlake Houston right out here and I start going 60 miles an hour down the road. By the way, there was a cop out there this morning. And he pulled me over and he said, do you know you're doing 60 miles an hour down Westlake Houston? And I said, I didn't know. He didn't go, well, that's okay then. You're innocent. He says, even though you didn't know, you're still guilty. Here's your ticket. So there is ignorance. And by the way, church family, that's why we have to go preach. That's why we have to go teach. That's why we have to go and spread the gospel. Because there are a lot of people who don't know. Well, they're in deepest, darkest Africa. There are people in the United States, in Texas, that don't know. And we got to go share the gospel. But there's another type of blindness. So you have this type where, let me see if it's going to work for me here, and it doesn't seem to be. Let me see the next slide. There we go. So someone is just blind, they can't see, but then there's another type, which is voluntary or willful blindness. Now, all of us have done this as well. Many of you, you've been watching a movie, especially when you're young, and there's an intense scene on the movie coming up, and you don't want to see it. So what do? Close your eyes. You willfully do not see it. I remember being a young boy and going to a birthday party, and we played Pin the Tail on the Donkey. They put a blindfold on you. I willfully said, okay, I'm not going to see to play this game, and then you're spun around with a sharp object. Great game. So there is willfully being blind. And this is not ignorance. Listen to me, friends. This is saying, I refuse to see the gospel. I refuse to accept what the Bible says. I refuse Jesus Christ. Over the last several weeks, church family, I have given you mathematical proof that life did not just start on its own. And yet, some will walk out and say, yeah, but I just believe it did. You refuse to see the facts, and therefore you will not have faith. We see even in schools where our kids are being taught, oh yes, there was an uncaused cause, there was an explosion that was caused by nothing. And then this explosion was the only organized explosion ever in the history. And we'll believe that, but we refuse to believe in Christ. Do you know why? Because if Scripture is right, if the gospel is true, listen to me, apart from Christ, listen right here. If the gospel is true, and it is, apart from Christ, you are in real trouble. You refuse Christ. My friend, I can tell you your future. It is eternity in hell. You choose. I don't want to be with God. I don't want to trust Christ. Listen to me. He will honor that decision for all eternity. But I don't want to believe that because I don't want to deal with it. So let me ask you this morning, are you willfully blind? My friend, the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God. And He came here. He humbled Himself and became a man, born of a virgin. He, unlike us, did not sin. He lived a perfect life. And because He loves you, He died on the cross and paid the price for your sins. And 3 days later, He conquered death. And He says, death has no sting. I'm God. And He went to heaven. And one day He's returning again to get His people. So listen to me. You are no longer ignorant. You just heard the gospel. So today the question is, will you continue to be willfully blind? Well, He goes on to say one more thing. He says in verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives light. Second point. Let's see, let me go back. There we go. As the eye goes, so goes the body. We say something like this, as the blank goes, so goes the blank. We say that when we say that the first cause makes the second cause inevitable. You realize that? When we say, hey, whatever happens here, it automatically means that the second thing occurs. And Jesus says, look, when your eye is good, when it can see the light, your body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. When someone is blind, their eyes are bad. There's no guessing about it. Y'all have all seen blind people. If they're reaching for something, they have to feel for it. And then finally, they'll find what they're looking for. Or they walk around with a cane so they can see what's, they can touch or at least get a sense of what's in front of them. But do you realize that out of the five senses, it's blindness that is most apparent? Have you thought about that? I was on a mission trip in Poland, and there was a missionary there. And I'm no kidding, this really happened. I can't remember her name, but I began talking with her, talking about what she was doing on the mission field. And it was 2 days into the mission trip that this lady said, you know I'm deaf, right? I had no idea. She read lips perfectly. She talked just like I was having a conversation with one of you. She talked just like I did. And I know some of you go, that she still needs help. But I had no idea. I mean, she could be deaf. We were in a band. We were playing Christian music there, and she was tapping her foot and all that, and she was like, yeah, but I can feel the vibrations. So that's where I know where the beat is. I was totally clueless that she could not hear. But not so if someone is blind. You immediately know that they're blind. They can't hide that. They need someone to guide them about. I've often said, you will live what you believe. Listen to me. Your body and your lips may be in conflict with one another. You may say one thing and live another. But your belief and your lifestyle will be in harmony. That's the way it works. Some of you, you're sitting in church today, but this is drudgery for you. You have no desire to be here. You have no desire to worship. Maybe you're here supporting family. Maybe you're here because you just don't want friction in your house. But this is drudgery. What does your heart long for? Will tomorrow be just another day in which you said, yeah, that preacher guy, he had some good things to say, but I have my life to live. I want to do my thing. I want to live my life. I want to do things my way. Sounds like an American to me. It's my life. I can do what I want. Is a moral life something that you, and you may be thinking, well, I do live a moral life. Are you living a moral life just because it's advantageous to you right now? But as soon as sin presents itself and it's advantageous to sin, you'll just go there just as easy? Because it's the easy thing to do. It's the convenient thing to do. Or do you realize that you are a creature that was made by your Creator and you are to be submissive to what your Creator has said? Do you have no desire to grow in your faith because, frankly, you just don't have faith? When you do not see the light, when you do not know Christ, listen to me, you're not kind of good, you're not pretty good. It says right here, it's bad. You're filled with darkness, not the light. But I want to flip this around as well, because when you see the light, you are filled with the light. You are filled with it. So some of you, you know what? You have gotten to the point where you're making yourself feel good. You're going, oh no, I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I got that. I was baptized. Yeah, we're good. But let me ask you this. If you are filled with the light, one of the affirmations that you can have that you truly do know Christ is, listen to me, those around you know that you know Christ. There are no secret Christians. There are none. This whole idea of a deeply personal relationship that has no manifestation outside your life is a lie by Satan himself. You remember the woman says, oh yeah, blessed is your mom who bore you. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And do it. Your life will be wholly bright. Let me see if I can put it to you like this. When we walk into a room, there are two things that are so obvious. I'm only going to mention them because it's automatic. We automatically think that way. So it may not be something that you go, oh yeah, I've thought about that, because we just don't think that way, because it's a given. And that is this. When you walk into a room and it's lit up by a light bulb, you might say, look, the light comes from that light bulb. Actually, you're incorrect. The light comes from the filament that's inside the light bulb. But to you, it looks like the bulb is full of light. It is wholly bright. So it should be those of us who are believers in Christ. We should look like that. We are fully bright, wholly bright, because the light that is in us, Jesus Christ, you actually shouldn't be able to make that. It's not that we have Jesus Christ in part of our life, and part of that's good, but then I can live life the way I want to on my own time. No, no, no. You are wholly bright. Everything about you, every thought that you have, every action that you take, and I'm not saying that we don't sin. I am a sinner. But the direction of my life is to be wholly bright. Secondly, believers, listen to me. The light doesn't need a light. I know you're going, of course. The light doesn't need the light because it is the light. But I've already mentioned to you that the other reason that we have lights is not so that you and I can stare at a light bulb. We don't walk into a house and go, I just really want to look at that light bulb. Maybe if you're a moth. But other than that, the light is there to illuminate reality for us. We as believers should be that light. It is illuminating the reality of God. Listen to me. Believers, my church family, I know that some people do not have faith in the Lord because they say, we need proof. Their faith is to be in the Lord. The Lord you cannot see, touch, smell. But we are to be the proof. Our life is to be the proof that the Lord is real. And part of the problem that the world is having putting their faith in the Lord is the proof that we are is pretty horrible. Our life should look nothing like the world. It should be wholly bright. And when people see us, they see right through the bulb and they see the brightness of the filament of Christ in our life. So my question for you today is, if you're lost, are you going to leave this room and continue to be willfully blind to the truth of Jesus Christ? My church family, will you walk out of here and will you continue to live a life where you're saying, oh, I've got that light, but I've put it in that part of my life or that part of my life, but this part of my life, I want to keep darkness for me. Is your life wholly bright? My church family and friends, we're going to have an invitation. And all that means is that I'm inviting you to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand down front. Matt's going to lead in some music. And we're going to be still. And if the Lord is calling you this morning to say, I have not been wholly bright. I need to do that. I need to recommit my life to the Lord. Come forward. I'll pray with you. But you've got to do business with the Lord. Maybe this morning you're going, I didn't know. And now I do. I trust in Jesus Christ. I believe in what you've said. I believe Scripture. I'm not the same person who walked in this room this morning. Come forward. As I said, there are no secret Christians. You don't just say, well, I've got that and now I'm just going to go live my life tomorrow like I did yesterday. No, it's different. Maybe this morning the Lord is leading you to our church. This is going to be your church home. I'm going to ask you to come forward and say, this is it. This is where we're going to belong. But we're going to be still. And we're inviting you as a church, not just me, our church is inviting you to respond to the Lord this morning. After that, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and then we're done this morning. So I'm going to pray, and the invitation will begin. You move if God is telling you to move. Not because I'm telling you to move, because God is telling you to move. If that's what God has laid on your heart, then you move this morning. Let's pray.